there's a process of consultation that is being undertaken by the National Church through a number of bodies, and can I apologise for Appendix D? Ignore it. I've mashed together three reports, and the mashing has made it an incomprehensible page of works. So ignore it. And the slides that are behind me and the narrative that I will give may bring some clarity to the position. So in November 2015, our synod passed this motion and asked the Archbishops' Plural Council of General Synod to progress this. One, that we extended the functions of the Crown Nominations Committee so that it's due to consider any vacancy in the diocesan bishopric includes the See of Dover. The See of Canterbury will always need to be voting with a majority who choose the new Bishop of Dover. And the second thing that we said, and I'll take each of these in turn, was to reduce the number of members elected by the Vacancy and See Committee to the Commission when it is to consider a vacancy in the See of Canterbury from 6 to 3. Let me give some definitions of terms here, because if you are not clear about what the terms are, then it's all gobbledygook. It feels a little bit like explaining the Holy Trinity, but slightly more mysterious. So, for the sake of this debate, we're focusing on two Cs, S-E-E-S, in our diocese, the See of Canterbury and the See of Dover. A see is a place to which every bishop in the Church of England is appointed. You cannot be made a bishop of nowhere. Once you are made a bishop to a see, you can be moved to a bishop of nowhere, but you can't be made a bishop of nowhere. All dioceses have one diocesan bishop, Bishop of London, Bishop of Rochester, and appointed to the see of the same name. Most dioceses have assistant bishops. They too are appointed to a see that's not a diocesan see, like the Bishop of Tunbridge is appointed to the See of Tunbridge, etc. And the appointment of assistants is the responsibility, usually, of the diocesan bishop. So Rochester was responsible for appointing the Bishop of Tunbridge. Because we're in the Canterbury Diocese, the role of bishop is taken by the Archbishop. And increasingly, over the years, and probably within living memory, the extra diocesan responsibilities, nationally and internationally, have grown to the point where the majority of the duties to look after the diocese are delegated to the Bishop of Dover. Probably in excess of 90% of the activities of a diocesan bishop are now held by the Bishop of Dover, no longer by the Bishop of Canterbury. For this reason, the Synod back in 2015 wants to have the See of Dover treated as if it was a diocesan see, and the motion passed in 2015 requested that. So the consultation that we've been asked to engage with has ignored this point of our original motion. And we, I believe, would want to restate that. Therefore, could we go to the next slide? In the light of the Canterbury Diocesan Synod motion of November 2015, we would like to ask the Archbishop's Council to bring forward the changes needed to the General Synod Standing Orders to enable any vacancy in the See of Dover to be treated like any other diocesan see vacancy. So I'd like just to pause there for a moment, because this isn't addressed by the consultation, but it's present there in our 2015 motion, and the reason why we're having the consultation is built on this premise that the See of Dover is treated like a diocesan vacancy whenever it occurs. So if these words here are sufficient for you to turn this into a motion with a proposer and a seconder, then we will send this off to the Archbishop's Council and ask them to bring forward these changes that we asked for way back then. Comments or votes? David? Yeah, thank you.
David Kemp, he's talking, and sort of my heart sank when Stephen said, in living memory. because I have the living memory. My father was vicar of Denton, Wotton and Swingfield, down towards Dover. And when he died, I found in his papers a handwritten letter from Archbishop Ramsay asking him if he would be good enough to look at the vacancy in Denton, Wotton and Swingfield. That's how hands-on the Archbishop of Canterbury was in the diocesan affairs 60 years ago. Fast forward to 1990, when I became diocesan secretary and I attended my first senior staff meeting. We met in the old palace, long dining room table. At one end sat Archbishop Runcie, at the other sat the Bishop of Dover, Dick III, and the rest of us sat around the table. It was fascinating. It was like being at Wimbledon. But we had no idea where the decisions would take, because it was always possible to go behind the Bishop of Dover up to Lambeth and get a different decision. So when Archbishop Runcie retired, in the diocese, in the leadership of the diocese, we said, please, well, the next Archbishop turned out to be Archbishop Carey, could you please appoint the Bishop of Dover and give him, it was him then, him the responsibility to be the de facto diocesan bishop. And that's what happened with Richard Llewellyn and subsequent bishops. The Bishop of Dover was then made an ex officio member of General Synod, so they sat with the diocesan bishops. And we've got to the stage now where it's very clear that Bishop Rose is the de facto diocesan bishop here. And what this is doing is simply bringing the appointment process up to date. Yeah. If I can also just mention that particular thing that's on the screen, I do think it needs the addition of the final sentence in that original motion about the Archbishop of Canterbury must be content with the appointment of the Bishop of Dover. The idea of the Archbishop of Canterbury not being content with the appointment of the Bishop of Dover is lunacy. Yeah. So I think we just need to add that sentence at the end.
Thank you, David. Just to be clear on that last point that you made. Oh, beg your pardon. To answer the last point that you made, and I'll bring the bishop in, so this motion will be appended to the original motion. So the original motion stands. This is saying get a move on. Bishop Dover.
Yes, I just wanted to say that with regards to the Archbishop not being content with the Bishop of Dover or needing to be content with the Bishop of Dover, I guess the problem arises if you have a change of archbishops, I suspect, Mr. Kemp, because one could hardly imagine that an archbishop would have appointed a colleague or a Bishop of Dover that he is not going to be content with. But separate from that, I just want to say for the benefit of the Synod that on my appointment, I went through the same process as a diocesan bishop on this occasion. Now, I think what I hear being said from this motion is that it shouldn't just be the archbishop, you know, thinking this is a great idea on the back of what the diocesan synod says, but that we want it in law. I think that's what I hear us saying. But I just wanted to be clear that I was not appointed on a wink and whatever else they would normally do. I just thought I'd say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. That's absolutely right. But it was the Archbishop that chose to implement a mirror CMC process rather than it being enshrined in any particular standing orders which we're asking for. But you're absolutely right. Anthony at the front here, and Molly afterwards.
Anthony, I recover. Sorry, this is a pernickety thing, but I think the last line ought to be treated as a diocesan synod vacancy, because it isn't technically another. So I think if we don't put as a rather than like any other, it
thank
will
you.
Get completely won't technically
thank you.
Work.
Thank you very much. Can somebody who's not taking the minutes, because I'm not, and I'm up here, but just note that change, and I'll hold you to either propose it or second it in a minute. Molly?
I think this is a change that a lot of us have been thinking about for a long time. And I propose that we look at it, we make a resolution now, and vote on it now.
Okay, thank you. So we'll bring it to a vote. Thank you very much, Molly. So Molly Poulter is going to propose this motion, is that all right? And Anthony is going to second it. Those in favour? Thank you. Any against? Any abstaining? One, two, two abstentions. Oh, are you counting? Three abstentions. Somebody else is. We're in that order. Anyway, it's passed, whatever the particular. Emma, are you registering a vote or? Sorry.
I just wanted to ask a question before we had vote. It was, what implications does this have for the cathedral? Because at the moment, of course, we see ourselves very much as the Mother Church of the Anglican Communion.
Yeah.
And the Anglican Communion look to us, and our bishop in that sense is the Archbishop.
Yeah.
So the diocesan bishop will be the Bishop of Dover. So what? It just seems that that will need to be thought through.
Yeah. This vote has no change. The Archbishop's authority in the 10% that he retains, he retains the oversight of the cathedral in that sense, and of safeguarding. So there are some things which aren't delegated and other things that are. But that is, that's this particular motion has not and will not change that particular emphasis.
I understand that. I just wonder, will it change our relationship to our diocesan, therefore our diocesan bishop? Will there be a difference in that relationship now?
This is narrowly around the appointment process, not around the job descriptions. So it is a very... The Archbishop will still be the Bishop of the Diocese. That's not going to change.
Can I just butt in again, please? I'm sorry. I just want to say that there, for me, there are issues around the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And I have always said to the Archbishop, this is your diocese. You are the diocesan bishop. And so, you know, as diocesan bishop, he has the run of whatever it is that he wants to do, needs to do because of the legal situation or whatever. But I would hope that the relationship that I have with the cathedral will not be put on any sort of pedestal, you know, to say, well, you are not the diocesan bishop, or so we can't do this with you or whatever, but that we will just simply get on with our relationship of making Christ known in the diocese and further afield, which is what we're meant to be doing. So, you know, I'm all up for it, and I don't care about the titles. I just want to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being lived out through our relationships, because that's important. We can't be preaching something and living something differently. Thank you.
No, this motion is sending it to the Archbishop's Council of the General Synod. Our Archbishop Apostle VS Council is one of the consultees, but it is not the recipient. So that was the straightforward bit. The second part of the motion that we passed in 2015 uses the term vacancy in C committee and the Crown Nomination Commission. So the Vacancy and See Committee is a diocesan committee made up of ex officio and elected people. This synod provides the elected candidates, and you elected those people in November. It only meets when there is a diocesan see vacancy. And its purpose is twofold. One is to write a profile for the diocese and for the new bishop, with a person profile enclosed in it. And in doing that, it works with other people in the Prime Minister's appointment secretary and the Church of England appointment secretary. And the second purpose is to elect from its number representatives who will be a part of the appointment process for the new diocesan bishop. And again, normally in most dioceses, there's usually one process for each diocese for the one diocesan bishop. However, partly because of the motion that we've just passed, we now end up with a Bishop of Dover who we'd like to see treated as if the Bishop of Dover was the diocesan bishop in terms of the appointment process. But we also have the Bishop of the diocese, who is the Archbishop. So we will have two Crown Nomination Commissions and Vacancy and See processes triggered by a vacancy in either. In that respect, we will be unique. In, I don't know what York does, but certainly in the Southern Province, we'll be unique in that regard. So the consultation questions which followed that initial original motion that we put, whereby we'd like to recognise the increasing role that the Archbishop has nationally and internationally, not being reflected by us being the majority of people sitting on that appointment process, it's i.e. six people, but rather say we have an interest, but there are other interests which hitherto have not been recognised. So we'd like to reduce, we were saying in 2015, our numbers from that process from six to three. And so the Archbishop's Council have, 7 years on or whatever it is, eventually taken on board our motion, and they are consulting on it, and this is going to go to the July meeting of General Synod. So they are asking us these questions, and they have already asked the Archbishop, our own Archbishop's Council, these questions. So the first, given that it's going to a whole range of number of people, the first one hopefully should be fairly self-evident, because we were the people who proposed it in the first place. Do you agree that the Diocese of Canterbury representation should be reduced from six to three members? And our Archbishop's Council unsurprisingly answered yes. So we've been given three choices in this area: yes, no, or not sure. So I will ask those questions, because it's possible that we might have a number of different votes in those different categories, and that will be reflected in our return. But first of all, hopefully this first one will be less contentious, but if there's any comment that anybody's got to make on this one, Harold, Harry.
You mentioned earlier two contexts, the Bishop of Dover and the Archbishop. Which context?
I beg your pardon. So this particular context is for the appointment of an Archbishop. So it's only for the appointment of the Archbishop. The appointment of the Bishop of Dover will have six representatives, and the appointment for the diocese for the See of Canterbury will be, we're proposing, will be three. Thank you for the clarity. John.
Can I ask whether this will be broken down into their clergy and bishops in three houses, or how would the three work?
That has, so I'll come to that later on. So the principle is we're reducing it by 50%. So how that three will be made up, we'll come to later. We're starting off with the easier questions. So those who would like to register an agreement with this, please show. Is somebody, we need just to just pause for a moment. We just need to put this on the return. This consultation document was written as if it was writing to an individual. See our Roman Catholic brethren looking on it in a bemused way at this point. Thank goodness for the Pope, he's thinking. Okay, how are we doing with Snub? Sorry, we're not quite finished. Thank you. Those who would like to say no, they do not agree. Thank you. Those who are not sure. Thank you. I suspect that number will increase as the questions go on. So this is kind of, the next question is kind of out, if we put the next slide on, it's a bit out of our sort of, we're moving into the realm of opinion rather than any authority that we've got over these things. So do we agree that the Anglican Communion representation should be increased by 4 members to total 5 representatives on the CMC? So currently the membership of on the Archbishop's Crown Nomination Commission is that there's a representative from the worldwide Anglican Communion, and there are 5 regions in the worldwide Anglican Communion, and the proposal is, that we'll come on to in a moment, is that each of the regions should have a representative rather than a singular, have 5 representatives therefore, rather than a singular representative to reflect the international role that the Archbishop has in a sort of first among equals capacity. So we're being asked if we agree that representation should be increased by 4 to 5. So any questions on this? Paul?
Could you just say what the 5 regions are?
Europe, Africa, and the Americas. Oh, I don't know, South America is a separate one. Yeah, South America, North America, Europe, Australia and Africa. Australasia and Africa. That sounds to be it's like the continents, isn't it? Apart from the Arctic and the Antarctic. On the papers on the desk, I do know what they are, but do you need, is that all right? That's the sort of area that it is. David probably knows the answer to this.
I don't know what the 5 are. Can I propose that actually this synod has no real interest? I mean, it's not interesting, but it has no real interest in this particular question, and therefore should simply pass on this particular question and say so. This is for other people to decide, not for this synod.
Yes, Carol, you're the chair.
I was speaking as Carol Smith, parish priest in the Calvary Union. Because given, as we've been reminded earlier when Emma spoke, that Canterbury, the Archbishop of Canterbury, is the primus inter pares, and that Canterbury Cathedral is still seen as the mother church, to be represented by each of the 5 regions and provinces on the CMC, I think will be important.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has different views on this, so we've got a question right at the back.
It seems to me that there are quite big issues involved in this question, which we haven't really had a chance to think about and discuss. Quite big issues around representation and the change in balance in representation that might actually be quite important.
Certainly the Church Times has reflected the international perspective of this particular change, and so we're holding in tension sort of Carol's perspective of absolutely we should have an interest in because of who we are in the diocese and we have this seat of the Archbishop here, but similarly the ability for our particular reason for being a consulted partner is that we are the body that is giving up the 3 seats. So we are therefore a consultee in this particular process. And there are international consultees. This is a worldwide consultation on the future appointment of a future Archbishop of Canterbury. So there are numerous conversations being had, but our interest. So we're not the ones who are holding all the receipts of all of the conversations. We're being asked for a particular. Diocese of Canterbury's are giving up three seats. So are they really okay with that? You know, so there is an element that that's our interest, and there are lots of conversations taken up by lots of other people on what's happening on the other side of taking up new seats that weren't previously there. Neville.
You said, Stephen, that the representation would increase from four members to five members. You mean from one member to five members and an increase of four?
By four members to five members.
Yes.
So currently it's one. Currently it's one and it will be five. Does that not say that?
That's what you said.
Thank you. Andy? No.
Andy Bawtry, Dover Deanery. I think it would be useful and it would show intent from us as a diocese, also being the place where Canterbury Cathedral is, to say to the rest of the communion, we want you included in this. They don't have a veto vote. Going up to five members wouldn't have that, I'm quite sure. But it shows intent on our part to want to be inclusive, to include other parts of the Anglican. So I would encourage Synod to vote for this.
Thank you. Emma has got a question in the back.
Sorry, just didn't say my name earlier. Emma Pennington, Canon Missioner at the Cathedral. And like Carol, fully supportive of each of the aspects of the Anglican Communion being represented. I'd just like to know what three seats are you giving up? And are one of them the Dean's?
When we proclaim the change in the standing orders or the Act of Synod later today, we'll be enacting a change in the vacancy and see regulations. And I'm trying to remember what the vacancy and see regulations currently say, but it won't. So the dean's position will not be changed by this. So the reduction from six to three will not be changed by this. However, I think that the vacancy in C, the standing orders of General Synod, which determine who should sit on vacancy in C and who can be represented to the Crown Nominations Commission, I know have adjusted that, but that's not this doesn't affect that, but that is being looked at elsewhere. I've got. At the front table here, new speaker.
It has been emphasised, this is in fact clear, but we are voting here on the legal situation of the appointment. And it is a fact, of course, that the Archbishop of Canterbury actually does not have any legal authority over the rest of the Anglican Communion. That is a very strong reason for not voting for this particular motion. His authority in the community is moral, psychological. I'm inclined to agree with David Kemp.
Steady on. Thank you. Thank you. We note your comment. Just to be clear about your first statement that we're voting on. So what we're doing is responding to a consultation. So this will go to the General Synod in July, who themselves will vote on whatever the new makeup or whatever the new arrangements will be. And they will take into account the views that we're expressing here today and lots of other people's views. So, but I hear the rest of your points and your verging on agreement with David. So. Where else are we? We've got Paul and Molly. Molly?
I'm in favour of the proposal there, but
but I think people should realise that if we do pass it, there is a chance that we would have an Archbishop of Canterbury who is not English. Not that that matters at all, but I think that could be the result of the vote.
The one before Justin wasn't English either, but we won't go there. Let's move on to Paul.
Maybe David Kemp's asked this question for me, but it's good. I think it's important everyone's aware. The talking about the Canon Legislative Committee, this is the people that do the actual appointments on the Archbishop of Canterbury. So we'll have three representatives.
Yes.
This goes ahead, there'll be five from the Archbishop of Anglican Communion.
Yes.
Who else is on that committee? That's really important to see.
So, thank you. So David, pay attention a moment, please. David, the question is, who else is on the CMC? For the appointments. I was about to say that six members are elected from General Synod.
Yes.
And they are standing representation across all dioceses. So at the beginning of General Synod, they have a series of elections, and six of the members of General Synod sit on the Crown Nominations Committee, regardless of whichever bishop to which they're appointed. The opposite archbishop is sitting on it as ex officio, that is the Archbishop of York in this particular case, and the Crown Nomination and the Archbishop's Appointment Secretary sits on it but doesn't have a vote, and the Church of England Appointment Secretary sits on it but doesn't have a vote. Have I missed anyone? I think. Sorry? As General Synod, I think they're General Synod representatives. In addition to, okay, thank you.
Not for the Crown Nominations Commission for the Archbishop. There is another independent, probably lay chairperson.
Yes.
Who chairs the CNC for the Archbishop of Canterbury's decision. Yeah. Normally it's the Archbishop of Canterbury or the Archbishop of New York, but
it's a senior layperson.
Yeah.
So I think that gives you the idea of your ethnicity. Were there any other questions on this one? The question is, do we agree that the Anglican Communion representation should increase by four members to total five representatives on the CNC? So those who would like to agree, show. Those who would disagree, show. Those who are not sure, show. Thank you very much. As we're moving on, we'll be saying the not sure's have it or something like that. But anyway, so the next question is, if there is to be more than one Anglican Communion representative, do you agree that they should come from different regions of the Anglican Communion, which is, by way of explanation, what they've arrived at five, is there are five different regions. So that's why they've arrived at this number. But some people, and again, this is taking David's point, who have a sort of interest in things other than our diocese, are thinking that the representation shouldn't be as high as it is for the international representation. So so we're not going to get into a debate, Leslie, I'm afraid, as to what representation might be if it's other than representing one each from each region. But we're asked if we agree that there should be one from each region. So we can either agree or disagree or not be sure. There are no hands up, thankfully. So if we agree, please show. and David will have the joy of all of this again in July. Thank you. If you disagree, please show. If you're not sure, please show. Thank you very much. So the next question is, do you agree that the Anglican Communion representatives should be a combination of primates, clergy, and laity? Now, there was more debate on our own Archbishop's Council about this, because there was a sense in which we didn't feel it was appropriate to be prescriptive, and the formula by which you might get a balance across five regions that might have very different structures to arrive at their representative, to say that Africa can have a primate and India can have a clergy and somebody else can have a laity, just seemed to be not appropriate for us to overlay a structure on that, but that each region, in the view of our local Archbishop's Council, should be left to choose the best person or the most suitable person from their point of view. So we said in this case the answer no, because we didn't believe that any prescription that brings forward a balanced combination, however you can get balance of three groups across five people, I don't know, but so we said no, the Archbishop's Council said no, but you will vote as you will. Okay, on this one, so Harold.
The problem with saying no is that we might be seen to be saying we want them to be only primates.
Yes.
Or only clergy.
I suppose we could bite with an explanatory note saying we didn't want to be formulaic about the process for choosing, and each person should choose their best representative, each region.
Yes.
Happy to do an explanatory note to cover that point down. Somebody's noting these.
Yeah, I agree.
And Ed agrees. Jeremy?
If we don't wish to express a view, it's not the best thing to do, we simply abstain.
There isn't an option to abstain, so you can either be yes, no, or not sure. It's a consultation, Jeremy. I didn't write it. So those who agree that there should be a combination of those three, please show. One, two, those three. Sorry, Carol. Thank you. Those who do not agree, please show. Okay, those who are not sure. So Jeremy's interpreted this as it. Oh. It's a close vote between no and not sure, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. And the final question, which picks up John's point from earlier, do you have any further comments you wish to add? Let me just say that the Archbishop's Council felt that they wanted to ask if it was so. At the moment, the rules say that the representation from the vacant CMC should be equal between lay and ordained. That's when everybody has six. Now we've got three. That's less likely to be equal, and so we felt that rather than prejudice it one way or the other, that we would want to, the Archbishop's Council wanted to add in this further comment, that we would like to see the opportunity for the vacancy and seat committee to elect the person with the highest number of votes in the clergy, the person with the highest number of votes in the laity, and the third person with the highest number of votes, regardless of whether they were clergy or lay, and that would give confidence that they were choosing the best person from their midst, rather than sticking to a particular, again, formula. But that's what Archbishop's Council said, so you can concur with that if you wish. However, there may be a number of additional comments that a number of people wish to make, and I'd be very happy to receive these by email, and I will append them to the return that we send in to the Archbishop's Apostrophe Council. But would you wish to commend our own Archbishop's Council's view on that, or would you rather? Yes. So Andy's suggesting that we vote commending, that we vote for effectively the three highest people, as long as there's lay and ordained in the three highest. So on the Vacancy and See Committee, everybody is entitled to, so the process for choosing is that individuals offer themselves to be on the Crown Nomination Commission, and that everybody, whether they're clergy or lay, vote in totality. So the Vacancy and See doesn't vote by houses, it votes in totality. And the currently, and we just had a member who's of this committee and of the Vacancy and See Committee who is retiring from ministry. So I know that there are some vacancies. So does that answer your question? Okay. Rose?
Yes, I just wanted to add to this by saying that I hope we will pray, you know, about this whole process and not just see this as a mere consultation process, because we all can give examples and know that not everybody who offers themselves are necessarily the right person for the particular roles that they may offer themselves for. And we also know, as was discussed at the last General Synod, that not everybody who goes through the election process necessarily is affirming that we have the right person in that role either. So I would hope that there is a real prayer for discernment in this process. And I wanted to say a little bit earlier, from my experience in the World Council of Churches, where the Orthodox insisted that it had to be one of their clergy, in particular a bishop that represented them, and not a lay person, and definitely not a woman. It's not always easy in some areas to select, but I see we've not gone for that. But yeah, let's hope this is a prayerful assignment process. Thanks.
Absolutely. So we're just asking, I'm asking the question, if Synod would affirm the Archbishop's Council's request to enable our own Vacancy and See Committee to elect the three candidates with the highest number of votes, as long as both clergy and laity are within that number of three. Those in favour of that? Thank you. I hope this item has brought you some degree of sort of joy at the end of this complicated process. I'm really grateful for your patience. And any against that? Thank you. Any not sure's? Thank you. Just two. And genuinely, if there are any other comments that people want to add into that consultation, then do email them to me next week, and I'll be forwarded to William Nye the week after. Thank you very much.
that